In the name of Jesus. Bread. Ezekiel calls it the staff of life. In a literal sense, it is 50% carbohydrate, 20% protein, 10% fat, 20% minerals. Bread, it has some strange uses in history. The year was 365 AD. A certain barbarian tribe named the Gauls had surrounded Rome and were attacking it for many, many days. The Gauls were convinced that Rome would fall if they simply could sustain their attack because the Romans would run out of provisions. And indeed, the Roman provisions were running out. The commanding general, Manlius, knew that reality. So in a last-ditch effort, he ordered all the remaining flour in the city to be baked into loaves of bread. He then gave those loaves to his soldiers, instructing them to hurl the loaves of bread over the walls of the city, which they did, landing on the heads of the attacking Gauls. The Gauls figured out that if the Romans had enough supplies to waste bread as a weapon, they could hold out much longer. So the Gauls retreated and did not take Rome. The Romans were saved by bread. Saved by bread. That is what the word of the Lord is all about that was just read to you from the sixth chapter of John. Saved by bread. Jesus tells us five wonderful things about that bread. Number one, that he is the bread of life. Number two, that he is the bread of life which came down from heaven. Number three, that he is the living bread. Number four, that his flesh, which he gives for the life of the world, is this bread. And finally, and most wonderfully, that one eating of this bread will not die but live forever. So the summary of our text is the same as that summary of the 365 incident that I related to you. Saved by bread. I'm afraid that sometimes we don't literally believe this text, that we are literally and actually saved by the bread which is Jesus Christ. We want to, in good Platonic and Gnostic form, believe that we are not saved by the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, but by some godly concept of salvation delivered from the Father on high through the person and words of the man Jesus. As Luther would not say, or as perhaps he would say, this is most certainly not true. We are saved by the flesh and blood of Jesus dying on the cross and delivered into our hands and our mouths under bread and wine. We are saved by the bread of Christ's flesh. What words are clearer in all of Scripture than these words? This is my body. This is my blood. Do we need a presidential exegete to help us determine what the meaning of the word is? Luther didn't need one. You and I don't need one. How can we then not see these clearest words of Scripture influencing all the rest of Scripture, especially our text today? We are saved by bread, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, crucified at a very specific time in history, at a very specific place in history, and flowing ever since then into the chalices and patens of the Lord's church. We must remember that the word of the Lord in our text today was not zapped down from heaven by God the Father, only to be found by the Apostle John in the boondocks on some Joseph Smith Mormon type of tablets. No, God gave John his own very thoughts and very words in the context of the worshiping church, a church which ever since the time of Pentecost had been hearing the word of the Lord, had been baptizing, and had been celebrating the sacrament of the altar. Just check Acts 2:42. This was the context in which the Lord's people heard the good news about being saved by the bread which they ate. To believe in Jesus was to eat and drink of Jesus. To eat and drink of Jesus was to believe in Jesus. They could conceive of nothing else. Saved by bread, Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, gives Abram bread and wine. And with those gifts, he gives him a blessing. God Most High has delivered you from your enemies. Perhaps enemies such as sin, death, and the power of the devil. Saved by bread, the Lord rains bread from heaven, manna, upon the starving Israelites in the wilderness. They are physically saved from death. In the manna, they are pointed to a greater bread, the true bread, Jesus Christ. Saved by bread, the psalmist in Psalm 132 tells us that the Lord has chosen Zion and will satisfy her poor with bread. Christ the satisfaction, Christ the bread for poor, miserable sinners. Saved by bread? Well, if not by bread, why do we repeatedly pray as we will here? Give us this day our daily bread. Is the bread we break, the bread of the Lord's table, not a participation in the body of Christ? Yes, we are saved by bread, the bread which is Christ, the Christ which is delivered into your mouths, the Christ who patiently and resolvedly kept the entire law, who suffered willingly but unjustifiably, who was crucified to carry out the blood atonement for you, and who is now delivered to you in proclamation and Eucharist. What a joy to know that you are saved by bread, the bread which is the true God, Jesus. What a joy to know that as his body enters your body through your mouths, and that his body enters your blood, when that happens, you are feasting upon him himself, the bread of life. Yes, that wafer is probably 50% carbohydrate, 20% protein, 10% fat, and something else. But more importantly, it's 100% the body of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a joy to know that this feasting upon the bread of life continues forever until the return of Christ himself. And that means for you, your total peace, your total comfort, your total support, even in the worst of times, even when in perhaps times when you cannot physically take in other food, yet still the bread of life, Jesus, in his body and his blood, strengthens you. What a joy to know that you are being saved, you have been saved, you will continue to be saved through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, entering into your mouths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.